All right, we're going to go ahead and call the Tech Ridge Public Infrastructure District to order. Today is December 17th, 2025. It is 9:34 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for the call to order, if everyone could state their name for the recording and record, we appreciate it. We'll start with the board. Isaac, you're the chair. Would you like to start? All right, we can come back to Isaac. Dave, you want to start
Yeah,
for us?
he may not know he's muted. Dave Nelson, treasurer.
Brad Buchanan with Tech Ridge.
Shelby Clymer with CLA, district accountant.
Thanks, Shelby. We'll make a note in the minutes that Isaac is with us. He just probably is having some audio difficulties. So once we start voting, we can go from there, but we'll make a note of it. All right. I don't see any other members of the public, anyone else on the call. So, board, first up, we need to hold two public hearings. We'll do them jointly, and they're to cover the 25 budget as well as the 26 budget. So, what I need is a motion to open the public hearings.
I motion that we open the public hearings.
Thanks, Dave.
I second.
Thanks, Brad. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's unanimous. So, board, we're now in the public hearings to take any public comment relating to the 25 and 26 budget. So, we'll have Shelby walk through those for us.
Okay. All right, thanks, Michael. So, board, I'm just going to look in the 2026 budget document and kind of cover both of these at the same time. So, for the general fund, really looking at again this estimated 2025 column, estimated expenses for the year about 22,000. So, this would represent costs after the closing of the bonds. So a little bit lower activity than a full year based on the timing of that and the work that we had to do. Again, there's no audit for 2024, so costs are a little bit lower than what they otherwise would be.
Shelby, can I get you to
Make it bigger? Yeah.
increase the size? My eyes are getting old, apparently.
Just got to keep those glasses on.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And then for 2026, looking at a $51,000 budget here. So this would include accounting and legal for full year and audit costs for the 2025 year end, and then annual insurance costs. It's currently anticipated that those costs would be funded through the tax increment revenues and the carve out from those revenues.
And is the audit number a fixed number? I mean, I know I saw the proposal, but I didn't see if it was fixed or not.
So,
They go
go ahead.
ahead, Shelby.
No, you go.
So it is, unless they have like additional work, say something doesn't line up and they need to devote extra time to it, then it could increase. Depending on how much and the time that it takes, those kinds of things. Not normal, but if they do, then we have seen some change orders that come through.
So it seems like for accounting, we just have a little extra cushion in there. Should we have that for auditing as well?
Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about with Shelby. So I did talk with the Hinton Burdick folks there who does Coral, Dave. So I got him to come down on his quote. So he's going to be in line with the 85 now. He's going to be 85.10. Don't ask me why he won't cut the $10 off, but I got him down to the 85.10 number.
I respect that. He's an accountant.
Dave, to answer the question on accounting, so I did send out the SOW, and again, we can kind of circle back around to this, but we are proposing fixed fees to just simplify the billing for both us and for clients. And so you'll see that on Coral Junction as well once we get there in a couple of weeks. So what we've proposed there is 17,500, which would cover the full year for all of the various deliverables that we would do for quarterly financials, the audit prep, budget prep, kind of everything that we're doing. And so there's a 5% client and technology support fee on top of the 17,500. So that'd be 18,375. So a little bit extra than here in this line item. So then with the $10 for audit, I think we're still covered for both of those.
Great, thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other, I guess, kind of back to Michael's earlier point, any other discussion, I guess, on the CLA SOW? I know that this would be kind of 2026 will be the first full year that CLA is serving this specific district. So any kind of questions on what our scope entails and kind of what that fee would cover?
Brad, Isaac, you guys good? No questions? Okay.
Yeah, I read
Yes,
through it.
I'm good.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you for
Thank you.
providing such a detailed list of services, though. I appreciate that.
We make our engagement letters long, longer than the law firms. So, okay, moving on to the debt service fund. So, 2025 first. We have estimated interest income about 150,000 based on where those funds were invested at the time of the bond closing. We've got transfers in of 11.4 million. So that was from the bond proceeds to establish the capitalized interest fund and the reserve fund for the bonds. And then there's a scheduled interest payment on 12-1 that was made about 1,386,000. Again, all of that's covered through capitalized interest. Then for 2026, again, estimated interest income based on current rates. The tax increment revenues, as we talked about last time, this just came straight from the forecast and the financing plan from the bond transaction. That was the best estimate that we had at that point, based on kind of current values that we had at the time that we did that forecast. Then on the expenditure side, scheduled interest payments about just under 3.1 million. Again, all that would be covered through capitalized interest. The tax increment revenues would be applied to the paying agent fee. So that's a $4,000 annual fee to the trustee. And then it would also cover that annual administrative carve out of $51,000 that we've moved to the general fund. And then any remaining surplus tax increment revenues can then be released and dispersed to the district's kind of direction there. So for now, we've just shown that as an expense out. And then once it's determined by the board how those funds would be used, we can call that out specifically on the financials at that point.
And I had a question related to that. So when we go to the developer contribution, developer advance, it in one place it showed about 200,000 on the summary page. Yeah, there it is. And then if you turn to the general fund, it's not there. And should that, and is it because it's the tax increment, the excess tax increment that zeroes that out?
I'm not sure if I'm understanding, Dave. So we do have the developer advance of 22,000 estimated for 2025. So that would be to cover the 2025 administrative costs since there's no revenues yet at this point. So we just have that. Oh, I'm seeing. Okay.
That
This is
right there, yeah.
there. This should be on its own separate line item for tax increment revenue. So I apologize for missing that. So we'll correct that in the version that ultimately gets filed. So no developer advance anticipated in the 2026 budget. I apologize for that.
Okay. Thank you. That answered that question.
Okay.
So Shelby, is that going to be a zero
So it'll
for
be,
26 then on the developer advance?
zero on
Okay.
this one, and then we'll have a separate line for the tax increment revenues. Thanks for calling that up, Dave. Then last page is the capital projects fund. So for 2025, we have the bond proceeds, just under 49 million, again, estimated interest income. For expenditures here, showing engineering costs estimated at 15,000. Bond issue costs were about 1.7 million. And then capital outlay, we've estimated in at just under 27.7 million based on where the funds were spent through 9/30. We have the transfer out of 11.4 million, which again went to the debt service fund for a reserve fund and capitalized interest. So then that would leave about 8.28 million going into 2026. Again, we've estimated interest income, engineering, and then shown all remaining funds to be spent in 2026. So I think as you guys are aware, we have the ability to amend budgets as needed. So to the extent that there's differences in timing of when those capital outlay expenditures are incurred, we can amend later on to account for that.
On the transfer to other funds on the summary budget, it just calls it as a transfer in. Is that just a transfer in from the issuance of bonds? Is that why it says it that way as opposed to a revenue?
Yep, so under the governmental accounting standards, Dave, transfers between funds are accounted for a little bit differently than actual revenues and other sources of funds. So just kind of a presentation. So shown separately, but then still shown as total funds available. And then similarly for the expenditures, it's included in our total appropriations.
Thanks.
Good questions. Any other questions on the budgets?
Okay.
Okay, don't mind.
Okay, thank
All
you.
right. I do not show any other folks that have joined the call, so no public comment. So with that, can I get a motion to open? Or excuse me, close the public hearings.
I'll make that
Okay.
motion.
Thanks, Isaac.
I'll
I'll second.
second.
Brad beat you out, Dave. Got to get him
Good
on the
going.
board. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
Aye.
right, that's unanimous. All right, first up, board meeting minutes from our November 26th meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate? Brad, could I get a motion then?
Yeah, I motion to approve those meeting minutes.
I
I'll
second
second it.
Isaac, he beat you out. Sorry.
Okay, no
All
worries.
right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. Okay, this first budget resolution just adopts the 25 budget. So just says that we had the tentative budget, we conducted the public hearing. And now we're going to approve it. So we have to adopt budgets in Utah through resolution. And so we also are just, they have us set up in the tax commission website and at the county auditor's office. So we just have to list what a tax rate we would have. So it's zero for the district. So we just, in the resolution, just say we're going to do that as a zero budget. So, or zero tax rate. Any questions? If not, can I get a motion to approve resolution 2025-13?
I move that we approve resolution 2025-13.
Perfect. Thanks, Dave.
I'll second.
Thanks, Brad. All those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. All right, here's Resolution 2025-14. This just approves the 26 budget. And so with this, we can include, because it's part of the budget, that you guys are good with the fixed fee from CLA. And we can approve that subject and then allow the chair to sign, and we'll bring it back in the next board meeting to ratify that. So if you guys are good with that, whoever makes the motion, if you could include that as part of your motion, to approve it, allow the chair to sign, and then we'll ratify it at the next meeting. The engage the yeah, the engagement.
I think I'll do that.
Okay.
Motion to approve resolution 2025-14 with the CLA getting that approval that we'll later get that we'll get that signature and then ratify it in our next meeting.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Brad.
I second it.
Thanks, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. All right, meeting schedule. So here's the proposed meeting schedule. If everybody's good, again, it's the last Wednesday of the month. And then in December's, it'll be the third Wednesday. You guys good with that? It's what we had this last year, so.
Yes,
Okay. Could I get a motion then to approve this as our annual meeting schedule for 2026?
I'll motion to approve that.
Thanks, Isaac.
Second.
Thanks, Brad. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right, that is approved. So now, Shelby, do you want to put, do you have it? Do you want me to put it up?
Yeah, I can put it up.
Okay.
So I put together just a really simple matrix of the proposals that we received from these three audit firms. Would note here that Michael talked to Hinton Burdick, and so their proposed fee was changed from this $9,250 to $8,510. Again, I think all three great firms. Haney and Company and Hinton Burdick have really done the majority of the PIDs that we've worked with to date. I think both do a good job. I think with the change in the Hinton Burdick fee, that certainly puts us in line closer to these other proposals. And as discussed through the budget presentation, it's kind of right in line with the budgeted line item. So, I guess discussion, or Michael, did you want to add anything here?
Yeah, so we've tried to split north to south, kind of. Now it's starting to get blended between Haney and Hinton. Dave Hinton Burdick's who does Coral, they're familiar with the PIDs down in that area. Not that that matters, PIDs are basically the same all over. My recommendation would be to go with Hinton Burdick. For you guys,
Do we, I mean, they do our the books for Tech Ridge. Do we need to acknowledge that or close
they do
that?
our taxes. They don't really do our books, but they do our
Yeah,
taxes.
taxes it.
Shelby, I don't know what your guys' rules on that. My
Yeah.
understanding is they could because there's two different principles that handle it.
Yeah, and it sounds like, is it just tax work or are they doing an audit for Tech
Right now
Ridge?
they just do tax work, and Todd Feltner is the principal that handles it.
Okay. I don't think that there's any issues with that, especially if they're not doing an audit for you guys. And then, as Michael stated, completely separate partners that would be leading that, completely separate teams. So, I don't think that there's any issue with moving forward with them if you want to.
I think that sounds good to move forward with Hinton Burdick.
It's a lot easier to get stuff from the one side to the other. So, you guys good with them? You want to try somebody else?
I think we're good with them.
Yeah,
Okay.
we're that sounds great.
Could I get a motion then to approve Hinton Burdick? Then I'll have them get over an engagement letter, Isaac, that I'll get shipped off to you to sign.
Also move that motion
Okay,
to approve Hinton
thanks.
Burdick.
Great, I'll second it.
Thanks, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, that's everything I show. You guys had your training already. When did we do the open and public meetings training? Was that like in our first board meeting? You know what? We might need to do it for 26. You guys got 5 minutes?
Yeah, I don't recall that we didn't.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we
Yeah.
need to do it every year. So it's a non-action item, so we can cover it. So give me 4 minutes and 45 seconds. Shelby, jump in at any point since you've heard this how many times. So, all right, we have to conduct all the district's business in an open and public setting. We have to follow the Open and Public Meetings Act, which means we have to allow the public to attend and participate. So we have to give them a chance to make public comment. Typically, we're going to give up to 3 minutes. Isaac is the chair. You have the ability to change that time. Most of the time, it's going to be 3 minutes. Most of the councils, cities, counties usually will give up to 3 minutes. So we have to have a quorum of the board. So two of the three of you have to be there in order to conduct any business. We have to post an annual meeting schedule on the Utah Public Notice website. That website is the hub for all governmental entities in Utah. Everybody has to post on there. Reason why they want it all at one place is that's one place the public knows. They can check out any governmental entity. They can go look for all that information. People can also sign up for email alerts. That means anytime we post anything to the website, they get notified, or they can go and obviously see our annual meeting schedule and plan to attend meetings accordingly. We also have to post with the notice the agenda and the associated items. The agenda items need to have what they call reasonable specificity. So take today's agenda. We have two resolutions. They're budget resolutions. We can't just say resolutions of the board. We have to say it's a budget resolution, if that makes sense. So that's the level of specificity that they want. We also, on the notice, have to post the Zoom or the Teams link. That way, people can participate electronically. We have an electronic meetings policy, which allows us to do it electronically. The one caveat with that is we have to have a representative at the anchor location. So that's going to be Christy for our meetings. We also have to post a phone number that they can call so they can get a hold of Christy, say, hey, we don't have internet access. So Christy can put them on, like on a conference call. She could put it so that we can hear, they can hear us. Notice period. So for a regular meeting or a special meeting, we have a 24-hour notice period. For public hearings, we have a 7-day notice period. We do record all of the meetings and we keep minutes. The recordings need to be uploaded within 72 hours of the meeting. And then once the final written minutes are approved, we have 3 days to put those on the website, and it's the final written minutes that are considered the official minutes of the district. There's a potential we could go into closed meetings, super rare for PIDs, but there is a potential. It would take two-thirds of the board, and we have to state the reason why we're going into the closed meeting. It's really narrow on what we can close for, and they would be for strategy sessions, dealing with collective bargaining, pending or reasonably imminent litigation, if we're going to purchase any property, do any appraisals, do any leases, purchase any water rights, water shares. We can go into close to talk about strategy, pricing. That way, somebody doesn't know, hey, we're going to bid X amount and they underbid us, those kinds of things. So we could close on anything related to that. We could also close on any deployment of security measures, so any security personnel, devices, systems. If we were to conduct any investigations regarding allegations of criminal misconduct, if you guys remember, we had a fraud risk hotline and we have a fraud risk reporting policy. So, say somebody were to call, we could go into closed session to talk about those investigations. We can also close if somebody tried to use the procurement policy or the grandma policy in order to get information about the development company. So any commercial trade secrets, anything that the development company's trying to get done, we don't want people using the district to get to the development company. We could close to talk about those things. I'll just tell you, Matt's going to say no automatically. So just know that going in. What we cannot do is when the district converts to elected seats on the board, say we were to have a vacancy, we cannot go into close to talk about any vacancies, how to fill them. You can't interview people in there. We also cannot take any final action, so we cannot approve any ordinances, rules, regulations, contracts, appointments in a closed session. We can talk about them, but then we would need to go into an open session in order to make any approvals. So we would go in and say, hey, what we had talked about, the agreement we talked about in the closed session, we're going to approve that now in the open meeting, if that makes sense. We can be that general, but and reference it in. In the closed session, we do recordings and minutes as well, but those remain confidential and closed. The only way they can be opened would be if the board says okay, or if they go to court and a judge issues an order to open them. So that's your meeting or your training for 26. You guys have any questions?
Nope, that makes good sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you guys have anything for us that we need to work on? If
Nothing I
not,
can think of.
all right. You guys have good holidays. We do need a motion to adjourn, but
So moved.
I second it.
thanks, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
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 That's unanimous.